Shall I? You know that paper I showed you, where the reason that we're making these recordings, it says so the words, so over 1 million words go on this database, and so they know, they'll know what the language was like in the 1990s. How long this system will go on for, well, in order to be able to refer back to the 1990s, who knows, we might, none of us might not be here. But still, they want this, they want this, they've made a request to have this done, and it's government funded, and so it's quite an interesting project really, just to record things. And
Well, you'll find here, it'll just be picking up the budget spending. If you listen back to that tape now, all you'll hear is them twitching away.
Listen to the budgies, I'll just do them back and sell
you. That's all the language you'll get, it's just the budgies.
I'll just switch off. So the tape's continued now from where it was before. Hello, Dick, hello. Hi, it's nice to see you again.
It's alright. I thought that was your bag. Was it your
bag? Yes,
I thought you'd got a car.
I have, but it's on the road now, you know. And that's doing me a bit of good, that bag.
I think it's cheaper.
Getting a bit of weight off me as well.
Do you want a drink?
I've just had one, Dick, a little while back.
Have you?
Just as a left home, so any kind of it.
I've been up the road ages. Waiting in the shops and talking, having a little chat. And
can I just sew something at that buddy?
Don't
quiet them down a bit. They're a bit noisy. Right. If I take them on the table, they won't make so much noise.
All right.
It's because they're higher up out of the danger. If they're out of the danger, they talk more, you see.
Oh, yes,
if you bring them back down to a floor level, they'll shut up.
Put them back, Jack, and watch them.
If you see yours down here, they're going stiff.
I understand.
It's because they're out of danger, you see. You know, they can say what they want up there and get away with it.
Yes.
But if I bring them down on the floor, we know that if they say anything naughty, you can tell them off, and then they don't say so many things.
Oh, that's very good.
They aren't as daft as they look, you know. There's some brain in them, must be.
Yeah.
They're programmed in some way, aren't they?
Yeah, so well, we just trying...
off a sort of a program, don't they, like, built in them?
Yes. I think it is, isn't there, with buddies? Well, all animals have got
it's all dated in, isn't it?
Yes, that's marvellous, that. You're just trying to shut the buddies up now.
Yeah, that'll do.
Thanks,
then we've got Jack.
You got me one of them pies, yeah? Now they've gone a bit quieter now, have you noticed?
Yeah.
They've just gone a lot quieter.
What do you think you ought to say a few words to Jack to keep him on his best behaviour, or just carry on as he has? Jack's the dog, by the way.
Well, Jack won't say much now. He's shut up once he gets used to you.
Oh, so?
Because he's gone a bit quieter now. It's just, you've probably surprised him. He didn't expect you to be here.
Oh, right. So?
So?
You've got some questions you wanted to ask me. Mark, that's it, Mark. Mark's mum's just come in.
I thought you were supposed to remain anonymous.
Oh, and there it says so, doesn't it? Well,
it's only first names anyway.
Yeah, there must be a million Marks about.
Mm.
Especially in Germany.
Now, the question related to Matthew chapter 8, verses 12.
Yes.
Where it says, whereas the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the darkness outside, this is where the weeping and the gnashing of their teeth will be. See, which sons of the kingdom is that referring to? It can't be referring to the sons of the kingdom that are inheriting it, can it?
No.
So therefore, which sons of the kingdom is he talking about?
That's a good question. What scripture is it, Mark?
Matthew chapter 8, verses 12.
Let's have a look what the surrounding verses say.
He's talking to the army officer. The army officer is asking him to treat his manservant that's obviously sick.
Yes.
And then on hearing that, he says that he's got great faith to believe the truth.
can see you getting me baffled this morning.
It must be talking some other kingdom. That's all I can suggest, maybe.
It says there, whereas, I'll read from 11, shall I? But I tell you that many from eastern parts and western parts will come and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens. And now, as regards to these ones, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they'll at the kingdom of the heavens. Well, these ones were born before Jesus, weren't they? So we know from previous studies that these ones, when they die, haven't gone to heaven.
Not initially, no.
No. So they will. So the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens, it mentions, well, thy kingdom come on earth, doesn't it, in the Lord's Prayer? So bearing that in mind, let's see what it says at verse 12. Whereas the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the darkness. Well, there will be some of the sons of the kingdom thrown into the darkness outside, because they proved futile. They hadn't lived in faith, have they? Some would have gone away from the teaching. Be thrown outside, where there is where the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth will.
Another scripture here to suggest whether this is on the same sort of a pattern. That's in chapter 13 of Luke.
Yeah, just say.
Chapter 13. Have you got the volume too high there?
I think perhaps I have, haven't I?
You've got the volume too high. Yeah, you won't get, you're getting feedback, that means you've got the volume too high. Where's the volume?
Yeah, it's on 8 now, shall I put it on?
Oh, you've got it miles too high, yeah, you've got it miles too high, that's why you're getting feedback. Turn it right down. Right down to about number 2 or 3 or something like that.
Oh, we won't be able to hear.
Well, you don't want to hear
what. Yeah, leave on that then, eh?
You don't want to hear too much what you're recording anyway, do you? Yeah, this is in Luke chapter 13.
Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Luke 13, yes.
And probably if you go from about 25 or somewhere around there, then you get the context of it.
25 says, when once the householder has got up and locked the door, and you start to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, sir, open to us. What an answer he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will start saying, we ate and drink in front of you, and you taught in our broadways. But he will speak and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Get away from me, you are workers of unrighteousness.
Next one now,
there is where your weeping and the gnashing of your teeth will be when you see Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets
in the kingdom of God. But yourself will be thrown outside.
Yes, but yourself will be thrown outside, yes.
That mentions Abraham, Isaac and Jacob there again, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if that's related to that scripture that I've just showed you.
Oh yes.
It seems to be on the same lines, doesn't it?
Yes, because Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were all witnesses of Jesus' ministry on the earth, weren't they? And they recorded different things, but also they recorded the same things as well.
See, the relation is also the sons of the kingdom will be the ones where the gnashing of the teeth will be.
Yes.
Outside the kingdom then.
Yes. Yes. That's why it tells us in verse 24 of Luke 13, exert yourselves vigorously to get in through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will seek to get in, but will not be able. So,
going back to the other chapter.
See, if I can just say, Mark, now, you and I know this truth. People in the world generally don't know what you and I know, do they? That's why this good news of the kingdom must go from door to door, from city to city, from village to village. Now, they don't know about it, but once we do know about it, then we are sort of accountable, aren't we?
That's why responsible, yeah.
Yes, we don't want to be like these ones that got to know and have gone away it says that's where the gnashing of the teeth will be. They'll be thrown outside.
You see, this one in chapter 8 of Matthew and verse 12, as I mentioned, I was just wondering if that's got something to do with the faith of the army officer or something, because...
Oh, yes, I think...
whether it's related to that particular thing, yes. You know.
Well, it would be, but it was a set pattern for us as well today.
Mm.
Yes. The army officer, shall we just read a bit more about it?
A bit further back, probably.
Yes, just to get the picture a bit.
Because it's got in relation to that, hasn't it? Somehow, yeah, it's sort of in relation to it. There must have been some reason why he said that particular to him or to other people.
Yes.
Must have had a bearing on him saying that.
Oh, yes, I think the story is that Matthew 8, verse 4, shall we just read from there?
It
says, then Jesus said to him, who was he talking to? Let's start off from the verse 1. After he had come down from the mountains, great crowds followed him. That's Jesus, isn't it?
Mm.
And look, a leprous man came up and began doing obeisance to him, saying, Lord, if you just want to, you can make me clean. And so, stretching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I want to be made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed away. Then Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses appointed for the purpose of a witness to them. When he entered into Capernaum, when he entered into Capernaum, an army officer came to him, entreating him and saying, sir, my manservant is laid up in the house with paralysis, being terribly tormented. He said to him, when I get there, I will cure him. In reply, the army officer said, sir, I am not a fit man for you to enter under my roof, but just say the word, and my manservant will be healed.
And that showed faith, didn't it?
Exactly. Jesus was saying to this officer that I'll cure your manservant when I get there.
Mm.
But what marvellous faith he must have had. Just you say the word, you haven't got to be there, and it'll be cured. That's right, Mark, yes.
He had the faith, that's the main thing, didn't he?
Yes. It goes on to say, for I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. See, Jesus was a man of authority, and the army officer was saying the same.
Yeah.
That's right. And I say to this one, be on your way. And he is on his way. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Hearing that, Jesus became amazed and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, with no one in Israel have I found so great a faith. So that's quite some statement that Jesus has made. And we don't learn a lot about, we don't know much about this army officer except what we've just read. And even though we know of quite a few people in the Bible, he says in Israel there's no one with greater faith than this army officer, so he's quite some man, isn't he? Yes. Very good.
But we haven't gone on to explain why he mentions that particular point in chapter 12. And in what relation does that, you know, tie in to that particular great faith that he had?
I'll go on reading from 11 then, shall I? But I tell you that many from eastern parts and western parts will come and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens, whereas the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into darkness outside. That is where their weeping and the gnashing of the teeth will be.
So what's that got to do with that particular faith which he had? There must have been some particular reason why he mentioned that, which maybe might be difficult to try and realise.
Yes, I can see your point, Mike.
You know, in other words, it might take a bit of time to work it out. There is some reason why he must have said that, mustn't
he? Why did he go on to speak about this?
In other words, why did he continue in chapter 11, go on about there will be many in eastern parts will come and recline at the table, or in other words, in the kingdom?
Yes.
There must have been some relation, probably, to the earlier...
Well, when it says, When he says, I tell you that many from eastern parts and western parts, well, we're from the western parts, aren't we?
Mm.
In other words, it's speaking from east to west, people in all the world, I think. He said, I tell you that many from eastern parts and western parts will come and recline at the table. In other words, this glorious good news that Jesus was speaking of them.
I think I know why he mentioned that then.
Yeah.
Because that required faith of the same sort as that army officer had.
Yes.
And the ones that would be cast out would be without that faith. Yeah. That's why it's in relation to that, is because those that didn't have the faith the army officer had would be cast out as the sons of the kingdom. That's why he mentioned it in likeness.
The type of faith.
That's right, he needed that same type of faith as he has. And that's why he said that those without that faith will be cast into darkness.
Yes.
That's why it's related to it somehow. Yes.
Not that we'll all have that same faith as the army officer has.
In chapter 13,
not to that degree, yeah.
It carries on with the same account there. Then Jesus said to the army officer, you see,
yes.
Go just as it has been your faith.
Yes.
So let it come to pass for you. And the manservant was healed. So that particular lot was all about faith.
Yes.
Those without the faith in the sons of the kingdom will be cast out.
Yes. Now that kingdom, as in the Lord's Prayer as we mentioned, is coming to the earth. And, and everybody will have an opportunity of learning about that kingdom.
Mm. You see, at the end of the day, one has to work out if there's going to be an earthly point towards the kingdom. That's the difference between this faith and any other faith, isn't it? Any other faith doesn't believe there's going to be an earth left, does it? They believe it's all going to be destroyed, don't they, basically?
Yes. A lot of people believe that.
But you see,
yeah.
Unless the days were cut short, no flesh would be saved anyway. So it proves in Matthew that there is going to be some flesh left.
Yes, that's right.
And as we've learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that all different animals have different sorts of flesh. We've got different flesh than different animals, haven't we? Than dogs and fish have got different flesh.
Yes.
So the new flesh that we require will be a different sort of flesh than we've got now, probably, in the new order, whatever it is. You know, we might require a different sort of flesh, won't we?
Well,
which is more... See, this flesh at the moment wears out and it grows older, doesn't it?
And do you know why that is, don't you?
Because it's because of the sin, obviously.
The sin of Adam passed down towards us, that's right.
Mm.
But when this kingdom takes over, Jesus was a ransom sacrifice. He brought people back. That's those that have faith. So in the new, when this new system comes, when God's kingdom comes on the earth, we'll start to grow young again. And in that way, we'll have a sort of a different flesh, won't we?
Mm.
When we grow young again.
Mm. Mm. It'll be, you see, if you believe in God, which is the main point of the thing, then you can believe that he's capable of anything.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to bear in mind that God created the heavens and the earth. And any human that's in God's memory, who's deceased out of the way, if you've got enough faith, you can believe that you can bring anything back.
Yes.
If you've got the faith. If you believe in God, in other words, you've got the faith.
Yes.
You've got to believe in God first before you can get the faith.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
yes.
If you do believe in God, then you can believe that anything's possible
yes.
with God.
Well, you've only got to go back to what we've been discussing. And Jesus, when he was on the earth, he cured that manservant, didn't he?
For somebody to doubt there will be an earth where people aren't in paradise is doubting God's power, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mm. So people that just believe that you're going to heaven haven't quite got the faith to believe that there'll be people on earth as well.
Exactly, yes.
But anything's possible with God because he created everything. If he's created the stars and the moon and the heavens, then he can create whatever he wants to.
Yes.
It's up to him, isn't it, in a way?
That's right.
That
yes.
ultimate thing.
Yes. And being as he's a God of love, he's only got loving provisions in store for those whose heart is complete towards him.
Mm. And at the end of the day, I suppose there has to be a point for the kingdom. And it wasn't easy to get into that because all the accounts are all about how big a struggle it is to get into the kingdom,
yes.
which proves that. It wouldn't be easy to get in there anyway, so it isn't granted automatically. It's something that has to be worked out because it's not easy to get there. It's a narrow gate.
Yes.
So it isn't an automatic thing, which proves that it takes a bit of time and patience before you've achieved it. So
yes.
it isn't like an immortal soul, which is sort of given automatically.
That's right, yes.
You have to show faith, don't you?
Yes. Yes. Mm. And with all the different teachings about God that there are on the earth today, literally thousands of them, they contradict each other, they fight each other, they kill each other, all in the name of God, and the very thing that God has said, don't do, they shall not kill. So, religion really is the biggest contract that's ever been devised. These people think they're serving God, but actually they're serving the devil.
And a lot of the religions believe in things that aren't true, like Santa Claus and things like that. That is a lie. It's not truth, is it?
It isn't.
So a lot of them tell like fairy tales. A lot of people tell fairy tales at young children. It's all aimed at young children when they're not old enough to understand what's truth and what isn't. they're not in their own understanding yet when they're children. So they're sort of not in the conscious sense anyway.
What do the Catholic priest once say? Give me a boy until he's seven and I'll give you the man.
It's all, at the end of the day, it'll be the ones that are in charge of the sheep that'll get the worst judgment, because they are more responsible. It'll be the ones that are in charge. In other words, the ones that have been misled, God might overlook, because they didn't know that they were probably being misled. You understand what I mean?
Yeah,
in other words, they weren't in the sin, as Jesus explained.
Yeah.
Because the Pharisee says to him that we're not blind, also are we? And then he replies that, well, just because you think you're not blind, then you must be. You know, it's like reverse. They thought they weren't, so they must have been. And that's how it is. Just when you think you're not blind, you probably are.
Yes.
And when you think you are, you're probably not.
Yeah.
it's like a two-way thing, you know. One has to be...
So if everybody has the opportunity of listening to the good news of the kingdom in the old world, well, then people have a chance. That means everybody's having a chance, doesn't it? As you mentioned, like, if people don't hear this, how will they... Well, it says in Romans, doesn't it? Romans, just have a look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10.
Excuse me, it's Mark.
A bit later, yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. Sorry for interrupting.
No, it's all right. I keep talking.
Yeah. It says Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah will be saved. However, how will they call on him in whom they have not put faith? How in turn will they put faith in him of whom they have not heard? How in turn will they hear without someone to preach? How in turn will they preach unless they have been sent for? Just as it is written, how comely are the feet of those who declare good news of good things. But that's more or less what we were saying, isn't it? People have got to have this opportunity to listen to the good news. If they refuse, well, that's a choice they have, isn't it?
See, one of the dangers of just reading the Bible is that you have to be careful you don't fall into the pitfall of just reading it, when if you do, then it'll all look as if it's pointing towards the only way out is heaven.
Yes, and you've got
because
to die.
All the scriptures in the first gospels are all pointing to how to get to that place.
That's right, because these first ones... Sorry for interrupting, Mark, go on.
Yeah, all the scriptures from them on even are all pointing to how to achieve this heavenly thing.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, there has to be a purpose for it. So unless you put it into action, then if you just read, then you're in danger of having a bigger judgment than somebody that was ignorant, you know, of not knowing. So the responsibility becomes higher the more you learn.
Yes. More accountable, that's right. And speaking about heaven... And you mentioned about the scriptures referring to heaven.
Most of them do, don't they? Most of the scriptures are all how to achieve that, because they had to achieve perfection at the end of the day, didn't they?
But which ones are going to heaven? Everybody?
Well, the scriptures really mention how a man strives for the kingdom of God. So mainly it's the man. I don't know whether women go to the heavenly realm. It doesn't actually mention that, does it, anywhere?
Well, The anointed ones.
Mm. Are they men or are the anointed ones women?
Both, aren't they?
I don't know. That's a question that I meant to ask, which I don't know whether there are women. Because mainly the scriptures mention about it's the man that's got the lead, isn't it?
Yes.
Very rarely talk about women going to heaven.
Yes.
Do they?
The reason, you know, the reason why some are going to heaven, when you think of a kingdom, and you think of our country here in England, you've got, there's the Queen, she's the head of the country, and she, to help her to run the country, she's got a parliament.
Mm.
Now, in heaven, Jesus is the King, and Jesus will have a certain number with him in heaven to rule over the earth, because co-rulers with him.
Mm.
And these ones will be made up of faithful ones, from, taken from Jesus' time up until now, they'll be made up of faithful ones that will have to die. They'll have to shed their fleshly bodies and go to heaven to be part of this kingdom. But for the rest of mankind, which are obedient, which do accept the truth, they will live in paradise on the earth.
Mm. You see, a lot of the Hebrew scriptures talk about the earthly paradise in its right context. So if you just examine the Christian scriptures, you might get confused, because there's a lot of things that can be taken both ways.
Yes.
Like, for instance, chapter 10 of John, verse 16, which talks about other sheep which are not of this fold. You might think that that's talking about, well, the logical sense of that scripture is that a dividing line with sheep, and you get different sort of folds, don't you?
Yes.
So at that time, that could have been taken into the context of all one anyway, going to the same place.
Yes.
But it's only in future years that it's added up to a significant point.
That's right. And those ones, those sheep that you just mentioned, are the meek that will inherit the earth.
Because one thing that really gave the key away was in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said that the meek will inherit the earth.
Yes.
Which proves that there is a separate class.
And those going to heaven.
This is the point at the end of the day, to prove the truth. You've got to prove in your mind that there is going to be a separate sort of class between there is a scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, that talks about Paul, I think, having a vision of the third heaven, which was actually a vision. It wasn't a reality. It's like Revelation was a vision. I don't think it was the reality of heaven, was it? It was a vision.
I can't comment without just looking at Mark, I'm afraid.
No, there was a vision, I think the Apostle Paul had, which was of the third heaven.
Yes. Yes, you may be right, but I'm just
the
a bit
third
of
heaven,
the dark a bit.
I think I've looked in the aid book, and according to the third heaven, it was more of a dream, more of a symbolic dream, more than an actual reality vision of heaven. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You see, a lot of the visions that they had.
Something typifying.
The visions that they had were not as reality. They were only like visions they had.
Yes.
They weren't actually real heaven or real. The
visions
weren't the colourful visions.
Oh, lots of visions were had.
See, that's the difference which you have to click in your mind.
Yes.
That even in the Revelation, the very beginning chapters from about 1 to about chapter 7 are very easy to understand once you understand what they're saying. Because they're all letters to each congregation at that time, weren't they?
Yes, they were, yes.
The Spirit says to the congregation of wherever, send this letter. And John asked to send these letters, but the letters were the Spirit talking.
That's right,
the Holy
yes.
Spirit talking to
yes.
them, giving them information.
Yes, that's right.
That's basically the start of Revelation, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
And the angel to each congregation, the letters were sent to.
Yes.
One logical thing is that if them letters were sent to angels, which I don't know whether the churches believe that, then you wouldn't actually need to send literal letters to angels, because they'd be more advanced in whatever they got.
Yes.
So, you know, there's one thing you have to work out on the logical side of Revelation.
Yes.
In other words, if you read it without any experience, you might start thinking that it's giving are your vision of the real heaven, whereas it's just symbolic.
Yes.
It's all symbolism. And this is one of the things you have to work out to find out whether there is a...
You know, can I just ask you something? Talk about angels, you know, these are heavenly spirits, aren't they? Now, can you remember in the book of Genesis where it says sons of the true God? They took on flesh.
And the ones that were disobedient?
Yes.
Yeah.
Angels that turned bad, just like a lot of mankind turned bad. They put on flesh then for the purpose of marrying the good-looking daughters of men. Now, do you know anything about these fallen angels? Have they died, or are they still about today? Or what do you know about them?
Well, obviously they've been cast in bonds until judgment.
Can they influence us today?
The demons, yeah, they can, yeah.
Yes.
They do exist.
Then the demons are these proper angels at one time, weren't they? Fallen angels.
To work the truth out of things, one has to think what Adam lost in the beginning, what Jesus had to gain back. Because according to the Corinthians letter, that Jesus came back to buy back what Adam had lost. Now, if you can work out what Adam had lost it in the first place, then you can see the point why he was put on the earth. And you can see that he was given a commandment not to take off the tree of knowledge of good and bad, wasn't he?
That's right.
If you can work out that what would have happened if he probably wouldn't have taken that,
yeah,
and what was taken away when he did break the rule, then you can work out what Jesus brought back.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was God's spirit in some way.
Yeah.
What, he must have lost God's spirit, mustn't he, Adam?
Oh,
in
yes.
In some way.
Yes, to a large degree he lost God's spirit.
Mm. And that's...
He brought the aging process on the human race.
Because that's what Jesus came to buy back, God's spirit.
That's it. Because he was a perfect man, Jesus.
Mm.
Not like any descendants that were born from Adam are born imperfect, weren't they?
I've just seen a woman going past in a three-wheeler on the pavement here, wheelchair, and she was doing quite a bit of a speed. I was just going to get me speed checker. I don't want to see if she was speeding on the pavement.
But getting back to these fallen angels, in what way do they try and mislead mankind today?
One of the big ways is spiritism and things that are not real, things that are sort of blinding the minds of the unbelievers, as it were. In other words, material things, probably, and things that according to Revelation. According towards the end of Revelation, he talks about these dumb idols and these pieces of gold have got nothing in them, and that would be a way in which the lawless ones would be caught out, because these gold or whatever have got nothing in them, you see.
What about Ouija boards?
Well, this is another method, isn't it, of tricking people into believing sort of things that aren't true, which they say that they're talking to deceased people, like people said they've talked to Elvis Presley. There's been one woman that claims to continuously talk to him from where he is, you know.
Yes.
So obviously she's assuming that she's talking to Elvis, but she can't prove it.
Yes.
Obviously beyond that sort of thing you can't prove anyway. But she's claiming to talk to this particular singer or other, you know.
Yeah, lots of people claim, in fact ever such a lot of people claim, that they've got communication with the dead. For instance, as you know, I've got a caravan, haven't I, at Rudyard Lake.
Mm.
And there's a lady there, and I'd got a caravan, and her husband had died, and she wanted me to swap caravans. Hers was actually a better conditioned caravan than mine, but she said it was too big for her, and she wanted something smaller, would a swap. Well, I didn't swap, for the reason mine was overlooking the lake, it was in a better position. And she told me the reason she wanted to swap, she said it was too big because her husband had died. I started to speak to her about when God's kingdom comes on the earth, these dead ones will come back, these loved ones.
Mm.
Oh, he's already with me now, she says.
Mm.
She's already with me. Mm. And she was absolutely sure. And there's lots of people that say things like that.
Well, actually, when somebody passes away, lots of people say that when they pass away, they've received their spirit that's came to them.
Yes. So what so do you know, Mark, what it is that makes these people think those things?
Well, there must be another force that makes them think those things, mustn't it?
Yes.
It isn't actually controlled by them.
No.
It is actually some other thing.
And this other force is the fallen angels, the demons. If they can actually... This woman used to say, oh, he's with me. He's in bed with me at night. So these demons, these fallen angels, I've got... See, God has said, and there's with the Bible, that once you're dead, you go to the grave, you see, and that's it. You're not conscious of anything at all. It says... But these things...
You've got to bear in mind, though, that the scriptures which you can use in the Hebrew context were before the resurrection was possible. So you have to be careful that they don't bounce. Because when Jesus came to the earth, he changed that, though, didn't he? He made it possible for a resurrection.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, but only for a few, isn't it?
Well,
a relatively few, and compared to those that are going in the, and going to inherit the earth.
Well, the scriptures do say that there are those that will be lost.
Yes.
So well, there's got to be some hope for those that have gone lost or whatever, hasn't there?
In the past.
No. Well, there isn't much hope for those that rejected Jesus in his time.
No,
because he mentioned that those were liable further to Sodom and Gomorrah, because he was actually there at the present. If they couldn't believe then, when he was around, then they got a big problem,
hadn't they? That's right. Yeah. If they could, God's Son on the earth doing these miracles, and if they couldn't accept him then, they're not going to accept
that's
him any
right.
time,
so
are they?
So they were liable anyway
yes.
for complete destruction.
Yeah.
Like, according to the scripture, the Son of Destruction, which I don't know whether it points towards Judas Iscariot being one of the sons of destruction.
Yeah, I think what you were meaning before, like, before Jesus' time, in Ecclesiastes, that's the Hebrew scriptures, isn't it? Ecclesiastes. And it says, the living are conscious that they will die, but as for the dead, they're conscious of nothing at all.
So you've got to bear in mind that it is actually, it isn't something you can take for granted. It is something that is a given thing. And that it can't be taken away. That's the main thing.
This knowledge, the truth, you can lose it, you can't.
You can,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
That's why it says, as we mentioned, exert yourselves vigorously.
In other words, it isn't an automatic immortal soul that you've got.
No.
Built in. It's something that's external.
That's
because
the teaching of the church.
You see,
I mean, the soul, what is the soul?
The soul is the whole inside of the person, mainly.
The man himself.
It isn't actually a separate part.
No, that's right. It's no shadowy thing that leaves the
Besides,
body there. Because it's soul is the man.
The only thing that makes you conscious of what's going on is your brain and that anyway.
Mm.
It's your faculties that know. If there was something that went out, it wouldn't be conscious, would it? It'd be unconscious. So you wouldn't be actually conscious. Your conscience is your brain working with your body, working with your mind and everything. That's why you're conscious. When you're unconscious, there might be something that goes out, some breath.
Yes.
But that won't be conscious. You'll be unconscious.
Yes.
So that won't be conscious of anything. You need eyes to see, to be conscious.
That's right.
When your eyes close, you can't see.
Yes.
So
we
your
need
breath,
the senses, don't
that's
we?
That's right. Your breath can't see, in other words.
No.
Your spirit can't actually see. It's blind, isn't it?
That's right.
If you're unconscious, then you can't actually physically see.
Yes,
so if there was something like that, you wouldn't actually be able to physically see where you're going.
Yeah.
What they're getting mixed up with, as mortal soul belief, is that when they're using their imagination.
Yes.
When you use your imagination, you can imagine that you're somewhere else, can't you? And they believe that's another eye, as it were, towards their spirit, which they think, you know, it's another lie of Satan, obviously, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
At the end of the day, once your eyes are shut like that, you've only got your imagination, haven't you, left?
Yeah.
And they think, because they've got that imagination while they're living, it'll still be there when they're gone. This is man's thinking again, isn't it? This is where they've got the beliefs from men thinking. You know, they've mixed men's thinking with theologies and things, haven't they, philosophies and things.
Yes.
The immortal soul belief is not a biblical belief. It's something that's been had from guesswork from men. Men have guessed, haven't they?
Well, it's pagan origin, isn't it?
They've guessed in a way, haven't they? So it's not it's not something automatic.
No.
To tell a child that he was automatically going to heaven would not be biblical.
Oh, of course not.
Because it's not the way that it was designed for. It was designed for something in which men pressed forward to.
Yes.
It wasn't something that the child automatically got.
Yes.
Those that haven't pressed forward to that, there must be some hope for them other than going to heaven, isn't there?
That's right, yes. Yes, some will inherit the earth. But then again, some will vanish after seeing altogether.
That's right.
All those who call on the name of Jehovah will be saved.
It's a matter of having that faith, but that should be Jehovah. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it's a matter of working out the logic of the original verse which it came from. Because that's been quoted, hasn't it? The apostle there that wrote that letter has quoted a verse from somewhere out of the Hebrew, hasn't he? He must have done. Because that's what they were using. They were using the Hebrew scriptures to quote on, weren't they?
Yes.
So if you can go back to the original Hebrew of that particular verse, then you'll find out how it's meant to be said. Because a normal Bible version wouldn't read God's name there. It would read, "He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," you see.
Yes.
That's the way most Bible verses today would read it, wouldn't it?
That's it,
It'd be very difficult to get through to somebody the truth. And that's come from the Hebrew, that particular thing, hasn't it? That's been quoted from, I mean, wasn't it? I don't know where that particular one.
Yeah.
It'll say in the cross reference where it's quoted from. Yeah, it's Zephaniah in 2:32. That's where that cross reference comes from. Because if you think about it, the apostles' source was the Hebrew scriptures. That was their source, wasn't
it? That's right. And then,
so you've got to really refer to the Hebrew to find the truth, haven't you?
And then, I mean, when you say the apostles, when Jesus came on this scene, he was their source as well as the scriptures.
That's right, yeah. It's like a combination, isn't it? But they found out the sacred secret. That's enlightened them to the Hebrew, though. Sorry, what's that?
5 minutes left for you.
Yeah, like I say, to find out the real truth, you have to refer to the Hebrew anyway, because they found out the sacred secret of God, didn't they?
Yeah.
But also they inferred to, that enlightened them on the Hebrew, didn't it? It must have enlightened them on what the scriptures meant by this sacred secret. Because before it must have been some kind of weird mystery to them.
Yes.
All of it was. But all of a sudden Jesus comes along and then enlightens the minds to the scriptures, so they are inspired again to write the Christian Greek scriptures then, aren't they?
Well, they knew some things of the Hebrew scriptures because they were expecting the Messiah, weren't they? Mm. They were waiting for him and looking for him. They were expecting him.
Mm. One scripture which I always find very interesting is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22.
Hebrews 12, 22.
What it's talking about is that the old covenant was to do with the mountain, wasn't it? And it was fearsome.
Yes.
Moses was scared, fearful and trembling. Then it says to the apostles that they had approached a Mount Zion and a city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels, and also a general assembly, and the congregation of the firstborn who are being enrolled in the heavens, and also God will judge all, and the spirit lives of righteous ones who have been made perfect. Now, see, most Bible versions don't use that spiritual lives there. They render it as spirit lives of righteous ones who have been made perfect. Now, is that verse there talking about the apostles then reaching up to perfection as spiritual lives, or is that talking about they've approached spirit lives already there in heaven? In other words, the understanding which I have it from this Bible, is that seems to be suggesting that that's talking about the apostles' lives before they die, as spiritual lives of righteous ones who have at that point been made perfect by being prepared to go where they're going to. In other words, I'm trying to work out why this is spiritual lives and not spirit lives. You know, there must be some reason why.
Well, a person can be, there's a difference between a spirit person or a spirit being, shall we say, not a person, a spirit being and a spiritual being. See, you can have a human being which is who is spiritual, can't you?
So that's what I'm trying to get at, whether that's...
Spiritual lives. We could have spiritual lives.
We could. But is that end there referring to the people on the earth or the people in the heaven? Or the spirits in the heaven? You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Is that verse there referring to the ones that have spiritual lives on the earth, or the ones that already in the heaven with the spirit lives in there? You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, it's speaking in 23 about the congregation of the firstborn.
Who have been enrolled in the heavens, you see.
Yes, so that these will be part of the heavenly kingdom.
See, they'd actually approached all this. They'd approached it, hadn't they? Some Bibles say that they've come to this. But at the end of the day, they hadn't quite had it at that point anyway, because they'd approached it because they were still alive, weren't they?
Yeah.
So the correct ending is they'd approached that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They hadn't actually got that yet because they were still alive at this point here, weren't they? So he's explaining that this is what they've approached, the heavenly Jerusalem.
But, yes.
You know.
But you know these anointed ones on the earth today, righteousness is before they go to heaven, already accounted to them, isn't it?
See, this is a very difficult one to understand. It takes a lot of working out, you see. And they've also approached the city, you see, which is called the same thing, isn't it? Also, it's called another thing, heavenly Jerusalem, with millions of angels, in general assembly, and the congregation of the firstborn, which are the first fruits, aren't they?